Now, people hear the word conquest. Explain what you mean by that. It's not conquest as in conquering, but...
No, but it's conquest as in Chinggis Khan, K-H-A-A-N.
Chinggis, not Genghis.
Oh, over there it's Chinggis, and it's in everything. And like the Mongolians like to tell us, at one time they ruled the entire world and known world. And so they like to see, you know, like conquest and Chinggis Khan, this and that.
Tell me about what your mission was over there.
Okay, for our Alpha Company soldiers, it was a platoon training event that culminated in a company-level field training exercise. And what they were doing were peace support missions for generally what you would see in foreign countries as under UN control. Also, going at the same time, we had a humanitarian civil assistance mission where we had soldiers from the Hawaiian Reserve Unit rebuilding a dormitory in a little small village. And then there was what we call a MedReat, which is a medical readiness training exercise where doctors, nurses, healthcare professionals came into a small village and provided healthcare for them.
So the role of Alpha Company was to provide like military, like in the case where you would be peacekeekeepers, military support.
Well, it would be support to peacekeeping operations. If you have a natural disaster and you needed to bring in food, we would be the ones that would control not the giving out of the food, but control the food source or supply.
Protected and so on.
Right.
Now, this was a training exercise for the Mongolians, but as I understand, not just for them, but for sort of everybody involved. Is that the way it works?
Well, correct. And in fact, this is the first year that the Mongolians have actually run the whole program. Before this, it had been a U.S., and then slowly it's turned over to be a Mongolian mission and training. We had the Thais, the Nepalese, the Indians, and just prior to us getting there, there had actually been the Qatarians had a training mission that was in there for their peacekeepers.
Tell me about what the actual exercise was.
Well, there was, six actual lanes that we went through or exercises. There was escorting a convoy, which we did a convoy. I have to link up with another truck, and we pulled security and made look for IEDs on the road and make sure the convoy got to where they needed to be. Make sure they were safe. What else do we have?
We had patrols, foot patrols. We'd just walk between the border of two countries to make sure that, you know, possible warring factions wouldn't come in contact with each other. We also had...
food distribution. So, like Sergeant Major said earlier, they'd bring the truck in, and we just were the security around. We'd search everybody that went through the fence, and once they got their food, we'd escort them out and try to keep things going smoothly. And
we also ran a checkpoint. And that basically was just border control or traffic control from one simulated state to another. Cordon and search, you know, if we heard there was contraband in some specific village, we went in and locked it up and...
searched the buildings, searched the people.
I take it that where the soldiers from other soldiers played the parts of the civilians in these exercises?
It was actually the Mongolian Special Forces, their airborne unit over there was all the... Op four.
Belligerents.
And I know both of you guys, and Dan as well, have been in combat zones, and well, you guys in Iraq, and Dan in Afghanistan, and prior to that in Vietnam.
It was a long time ago.
But you know what that's like. Was this fairly realistic, do you think?
I thought it was real realistic. The role players, I thought they did a great job. You know, if you kept things going smoothly, they were smooth. If you tried to get aggressive, they'd get aggressive, so really, you really had to watch what you're doing, and if you weren't paying attention, you might be missing a magazine out of your weapon or gear off your vest, which happened to some people.
What was it like dealing with all the folks from the different countries? Did you exercise, like, were you just as the American unit went through these different exercises and then the other units did, or did you work together with the Thais or the Nepalese and have to overcome language barriers and things like that?
For the most part, we worked as just an American platoon going through everything. We lived with them, we ate with them, and, you know, hung out with them after hours and things like that, did some trading and, you know, storytelling that we could over the language barrier. But for the most part, we just conducted our exercises as Americans.
In the future, does this mean that you guys might be called upon to provide peacekeeping support at some point, or is it...
I would say no on this. This was United Nations training. It was a validation, but for U.S. soldiers, we would never be, we're not going to Sierra Leone or we're not going to an African nation. For us, the training is very good because, again, we could use this for natural disasters here in the state or, you know, like the Katrina in New Orleans, where they brought the National Guard soldiers in. That's what we would be looking at.
In your off time, you got to spend some time absorbing the culture and also sharing your culture. Sounds like you had some sports going on and some interesting food experiences. Maybe Matt or Nick, you want to tell me about any of that?
Yeah, we had the first week we were there, we had a volleyball tournament, and we got eliminated pretty quick. Those guys, actually pretty athletic culture.
The Mongolians took the top prize there?
Well, they beat us, which ain't saying much. The wind played a huge factor. Started to hit a volleyball straight when it's blowing 50 miles an hour, but we gave it a whirl. We also had a basketball tournament, and or just a couple guys hanging out, got a basketball game, and pretty soon we had all the Mongolian troops standing on the line waiting to get in, and we fared much better at basketball.
And I was told to ask you about the fermented mare's milk, sort of a new cultural experience or a food experience.
Oh, it's great, and if anybody over here wants to go try some, they should, because then they get the real experience. I can't even describe how bad I thought that was.
Dan, it sounds like you tried that as well, but you liked it.
I did. I had a little bit different experience. I wasn't in one of the gurs like these two guys.
A gur is like a house?
It's a yurt.
A yurt, okay.
But it's not called, in Mongolia, it's called a gur.
Like a round tent, basically, or a permanent
round tent. Felt tent, yeah. I was at the Humanitarian Civil Assistance Project in Alton Bulag, which was where the Hawaiians were rebuilding a dormitory for the kids to go to school there. And so when I had mine, it was actually a more refined, higher-end mare's milk. And so it didn't have any of the flies or the horsehair in it or anything else.
But this is a traditional dish or a traditional drink?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. It's also, I heard, 5% alcohol.
Did you guys notice that at all when you tried it?
I don't think you get enough down you to... Yeah.
But you were polite and you tried it.
We walked into the skirt because after we were done with our duty day, we could walk around and... You'd walk forever, and you just go. We were quite a ways away and found this girl, and they invited us in. We're very polite and got this big bowl and brought it inside. It was started pouring cups, so we took it, not being rude. And I'll try anything once, and I was just glad that I tasted mine and got to pass it off before they had everybody's hands full of glasses.
Were they surprised to see Americans just walking by, or did they know that you were in the area? And
one or two places weren't that friendly, but most places invited us right in, and Some kids, people were playing with kids. We actually got to ride some Mongolian horses.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of a classic thing.
It was good.
It sounds like there was maybe a language barrier with some of the other soldiers from other countries, but did you feel like you were able to just kind of exchange some culture with the folks from whether it was Thailand or Nepal or other places?
Right, and they also, there was a good percentage of them that spoke English.
Yeah.
And especially like Nepal, that's got an English background, and India that has English as a second language, it was a little bit easier there. I guess what I would like to say is that what we did was very, very important training for us. What the Hawaiian reservists did in the little village of Alton Bulag was very, very important to supporting the community civil area. They did an absolutely outstanding job working 18 hours a day rebuilding and refurbishing a dormitory.
And that was a combination of they were training, but they were also actually doing the work. Was that
absolutely? They were engineers,
right?
And so they went in and everything from stripping the building out to rebuilding the plumbing to rebuilding electrical, just did a great job. And then of course the medrit, which was the doctors and vets and everybody else, when they went up to the village that they were going to, they were able to supply medical services to a remote village that generally doesn't get that.